Any apologies?
Chair, apologies from Councillor Beattie, Councillor Bennett, Councillor Constable and Councillor Devinck.
And the order of business?
Is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Again, the declaration of interest can be quoted at the beginning or during the item itself. Decision notices? These are just for noting, Wolfhead St James Gardens and Craig S Coachworks. Item 6.
Chair, if I could just draw your attention to item 6A, which is the review regarding Honeysuckle Cottage at 9 Mile Burn. The applicant did request a hearing for this application, but at present hasn't turned up. I'm just wondering whether it'd be worth maybe moving that to the end of the agenda, just in case he's running a bit late, if that's okay.
All happy with that?
Yeah.
That brings on to item 6B.
Thank you, Chairman. This report relates to a review submitted regarding the formation of a car park at land adjacent to 103 Lothian Street, Bonnyrigg. The application for the formation of a car park was refused planning permission on the 29th of April 2015. The applicant has submitted a notice of review requesting planning permission is granted for the proposed development. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's papers, along with the applicant's review statement. The local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, the 31st of August 2015. The review is to proceed by way of written submissions in accordance with set procedures. Following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued through the chair and made available on the electronic case file. Just a couple of points to clarify which arose from yesterday's site visit. I was just going to confirm the council is at the latter part of discussion or agreement to sell a 2 metre strip of land of the site to 103 Lothian Street. I know we discussed that yesterday, that the neighbouring landowner was looking to purchase a section of land. That is the case. And the other thing was just to confirm that the land itself is on the council's landscape estate rather than the housing estate, so it's managed by Landscape Services.
Anybody want to make any comments? Derek?
I'm quite baffled that there isn't any comment here for transportation. I inquired about this application, prior to becoming a planning application, as to whether or not this was something the council would consider. In an email that I got back, I think from Ian Johnson, it indicated that, number one, Land Services were not wishing to sell this piece of land, but number two, that transportation would not support a car park in that area because it would be badly designed. So I'm kind of baffled as to why there's no comment here from them. Are we certain that they have made no comment to this?
Yes, Chair. They were consulted as part of the planning application process and did respond, and their comments are contained within the papers. They've just not escalated the comments they've obviously made with Councillor Milligan to an objection to the planning application. And it's my understanding that they feel that the car park could possibly work subject to conditions. And as we noticed yesterday on site, there was some double yellow lines on both sides of the road for a stretch. So, Chairman, yes, they were consulted. They just haven't objected. I did actually try and ask the transport colleagues to attend today just to clarify that, but they weren't able to attend, so that's what the formal position is.
Certainly, from my viewpoint, there's a couple of things here. I mean, first and foremost, if you give some thought, for example, to conditions that we have placed on the likes of Tesco for a car park where the nearest part of their car park has to be closed off, I think, pre-10 p.m. Because of noise disturbance to the neighbours. Keeping in mind this would be more used for a restaurant type stuff, and probably a lot of the staff that work in the restaurant, as to the noise that would then affect the immediate neighbours if the car park was coming straight up to their gate. The second thing, and looking at this, is actually looking to see whether or no I agree with the planners on the fact that this is a nice area of landscape. And there's no doubt in my mind at all, I think it is a very attractive piece of landscape, and a lot of work has went into designing this and keeping it. I'm not actually sure, nextly, whether or no putting a car park in here would actually resolve what is quite a serious problem in that area, because I'm not clear whether or no some of the parking areas that are currently used on Waverley Crescent would need to be lost to accommodate that, because, again, it was something I asked yesterday, would that be necessary, and there wasn't a real distinct answer to that. It's very, very clear there's a serious problem on Lothian Street. Gigi's is a very well sought after restaurant. A lot of people want to use it, and car parking in that area has become increasingly congestive, and it's sometimes dangerous, and we would all like to see a solution. The problem I have with this is I didn't see this as the solution. I think the price that would need to be paid by the residents immediately adjacent would be kind of high. I'm not sure how this would operate. You know, how often if we went to a restaurant taking a car with you and decided to have a couple of glasses of wine when you were there, I think I'll just come back the next again day and pick up the car. So I mean, how would it operate? I have no idea. However, I am drifting away out of planning, the planning remit and the remit of this event. As a local councillor, in fact, anybody who goes up and down that road, you can see that something badly needs done there, and it's trying to weigh up the pros and cons of this. I've got to be honest, on weighing it up, I would like to see something, but this isn't the answer. I think it is a beautiful area. I think it's something that should be kept and maintained. Looking at the objections to this, quite clearly, a lot of the residents are making the fact that, you know, a couple of hundred yards up the road, a 4 or 5 minute walk up the road, there are several public car parks at that time of night lying empty that could be used for folk to walk in, indeed for the staff to walk down rather as owners rather than having to park there. So therefore, I'm going to be supporting the officers in dismissing this, as I think it should be left as a public open space.
You first, Ian, and then Adam.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I would echo many of the sentiments that Derek's just put forward. There's a couple of other concerns I have, and he's absolutely right that there is a problem there. There's a problem in lots of places, particularly around by schools when it comes to parking, but you know, trying to find solutions to them are not easy. I have an issue as well that in my agreement with the planner's reason for refusal that we would lose, and I agree, it's not one of the most attractive areas in Midlothian, but it's quite nice and open next to a built-up area, and it would be a shame to lose that. But what I would worry about is that we might here, if we allowed this, be setting a precedent that other businesses who have parking problems might feel that they should put in planning application for council-owned land to try and resolve their problems. So I'd be worried about the signal we'd be sending out. Also, I looked at the contributions to the debate on Facebook and whatever. Although there are a large number of people support having the car park there, they'll, in the main, be car drivers by definition, because they're the ones that would benefit from it. And car drivers won't be living near to the location. Whereas I was interested to see, and these carry far more weight in my mind, is the views of the local residents who might be affected in their own parking or be affected by the implications of having the car park there in other ways. And there do seem to be strong opposition from the local residents there. So, and as Derek says, there are alternatives. There's the one at New Dundas Park. There's one at the health centre if you walk down the walkway, if it's a bright night, for instance. So there are alternatives if people are prepared to walk 100 yards. And that seems to be the issue with many places of business like restaurants and etc., where people expect to be able to park very close to the premises. So I'll be supporting Derek on this.
Adam.
Thanks. Sure. I mean, Derek and Ian have made a number of points, but the thing I'm not sure about is if 103 are in the process, and it's not in the papers, I understand that, negotiating a 2 metre strip Obviously, running down the side of obviously the number 103. I mean, the plans that have been submitted for this, if that goes ahead, it's not the right plans in because there's 2 metres of gap. And I don't know if it would take the same number of cars because I don't know the logistics, but it looked pretty tight even yesterday for the numbers we're trying to put in. If you're losing 2 metres, mm-hmm. I think it would be really tight. So I don't know if it would. What's the position with that if the negotiations are going ahead with the other one? And if they're concluded, I mean, these plans wouldn't be as in the paper.
Yeah, that's right, Chairman. I mean, the land ownership thing, to be honest, is not a planning consideration. However, you're right, it would just basically won't be implementable if that bit of land sold off. I suppose the applicant's just relying on the council not concluding that arrangement, and maybe, you know, if that doesn't work out, it can come forward and do its own thing there.
Somebody else want to speak? So, I think we've got three supporting the planners, is that right?
Chair, I'm prepared to formally move that we dismiss the appeal.
Do you want to speak, Derek? Oh, okay. So we're supporting the planners then.
To confirm then, Chairman, that's the review being dismissed and planning permission is being refused.
To item 6C.
Thank you, Chairman. This is a report which relates to a review submitted regarding the erection of a dwelling house at land at 86 Main Street, Newton Grange. The application is for the erection of a dwelling house, which was refused planning permission on the 4th of May 2015. The applicant has submitted a notice of review requesting that planning permission is granted. A copy of the decision notice and the officer's report is contained in today's paper, along with the applicant's review statement. Again, the local review body carried out a site visit yesterday, and the review is to proceed by written submissions. And again, following today's decision, a decision notice will be issued and made available in an electronic case file.
This is the house with the jail at the back, which could, I suppose, be called historic. Nobody making any comments? Derek?
Yeah, Chairman, it was nice to get a lesson yesterday for the amount of times I've walked past that street back and forward. I've never spotted the bars on the windows, and I think a lot of us are the same. I think this has a very historic importance to this building, and I think, in all honesty, I would love to see this being preserved as it is, and indeed maybe something there for a local group. I'm again minded to be supporting the planners on this here and looking to dismiss this application. I don't think for the drawings that we were shown that this will blend in properly. And I think it would be the loss of a very historic building. However, on the main planning terms, as agreed with the officers, I would be looking to dismiss this appeal and refuse again.
Ian?
Yeah, thank you. It's more a question, really, that the thing that made it stand out as a historic building with the bars on the windows, really, because you could see that it was a prison, and in that respect it did look quite impressive. If the owners decided that if this appeal were refused, that they want to change the windows, what would the position be? Because it's not a listed building, so I imagine that they would be free to do whatever they wanted, in which case nobody would know that it was a historic building in that respect.
Yes, correct, Chairman. The building is not listed. It's not in the conservation area, so there's limited protection at present. So the applicant has what we call permitted development rights to do alterations to the building, so that could involve changing the windows. If the local review body were minded to uphold the decision and were particularly concerned about the historic nature of that building, we can obviously go away and explore whether we should be talking about listing it, and we can go and consider that if you want to do so.
Would you want to do that, Ian? You want to take on Peter's suggestion that we
I'm not too sure. I'm sitting on the fence a bit on this one, because on the positive side of the application, actually the extension at the back would mask what looked like quite ugly extensions at the back of the neighbouring buildings, which looked totally out of keeping with the character of those buildings. I would really like to see it completed to see what it would look like, if it looked very much in keeping with the existing frontage, and that for me is the most important part, then I would probably be relaxed about it. The fact it's a historic building, you know, nobody would really know that it would be the site of a historic building should we allow the appeal to be upheld. So I'm listening to the debate at the moment and still swithering which way to go.
Okay, which means we've got... Oh, Derek.
Yeah, equally, you can see sort of both sides of the argument here, whether yes, it might benefit from being improved, but there's also the historic element, and also I noticed that a lot of the brickwork outside of the main building, 86, didn't look very clever either. There was a big hole, I think, in one of the wall, and I just wonder what, if this is refusing me back, what is then going to happen? Who is going to take on the project of, you know, renovating what it looks like the house needs a bit of work, and also then renovating the historic jail? You know, we could end up with something that's just going to rot away and then be an eyesore, and then maybe eventually have to be hauled down at some stage in the future. So it might be, if there's some other way around it, but in the fence.
Ian?
So, yeah, I think this again is what's moving me towards supporting the application, that presumably because it doesn't have any protection, then the people owning it could demolish it and come forward with a separate application, which would, provided it was in keeping with the existing block, we would probably almost certainly allow through. Is that correct?
Chairman, to address that point, yes, there are, the landowner could demolish that extension, that jail component to it, and come forward with another development. I suppose one of the things I was just going to draw your attention to, there's three reasons for refusal. So it's not just about whether you lose that jail component. You know, the reasons for refusal relate to actually that stretch of the street. You know, you've got the uniform nature of the houses. They're of a set size, a uniform pattern, a uniform window design configuration. And then you've got this bit at the end. Whether the jail building is there, yes or no, you've got a very much thinner, narrow strip of land, which... You know, the reasons for refusal are saying, well, that's just too small to put a house in. The consequence of that is then the impact on the neighbour in terms of overshadowing the reduction in the garden, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not just about the jail building, so I'd give it consideration of those issues as well.
Russell?
Chairman, I have to say that looking at it yesterday, at first you thought, oh, my goodness, and then when you started to look at the opportunities and the possibilities there, said, you know, why don't we go with this? There's absolutely nothing we can do about the existing building. And I have to say, I never knew there was a jail there. I've been past that area on a number of occasions, and I never gave that a second thought. And as Councillor Mulligan's already said, he didn't realise that either. I don't think any of us really did, apart from the bus driver who said he had been in there a few times over the years. The bit that I'm more concerned about is it would be if it was to go ahead, is what kind of finishing we would put on it. And I mean, if you looked at it, the wall that has already been built right round there is a new wall, which actually, when you look at it, is not that far away from the existing colouring of the bricks. And marginally, you know, I think I come down on the application and saying I think you can do something. I remember the committee many years ago went to Roslyn, and it was a scout hall or something like that that had fallen into disrepute, and the planners at that time very much were against the that change of use to a house. It's amazing what's been done there, and that was a small plot. And it's worked out very well. They actually ended up putting a second story on, and it looks absolutely fine there, and it blends in. And I think that this, if it's done sympathetically at the front end, then to be perfectly honest, when you see the back bit, it does actually mask some of these horrendous extensions that have gone on over the back over the years. So I'm tending to come down and saying that we should uphold the appeal. Adam?
I like my colleagues. I worked up there for 3 years for the coal board collecting the rents, and I collected rents up and down that street for 3 years, and I didn't know it was a prison either. So, I suppose you wouldn't expect it to be something as close to a house as that. But I mean, I'm looking at the representations, and I'm always quite relaxed about planning, as probably most of you know. But I think some of the objections in there are actually quite valid. That one in particular, there's no end terrace properties have been extended in that street, and it is a coal mining area, and Newton Grange was the mining village in Scotland for a long period of time, and I think the way things are, especially with the mining museum up the road, I think it'd be worth keeping it as it is. I don't think the house fits in with the area at all. I mean, it doesn't even look like anything that's in the area. I mean, just even the length of it, and the narrowness of it, the width of the house. So I tend to support the refusing the appeal as well. I just think it wouldn't have been keeping with the area. And as I say, I think the representation, sometimes it is a bit, you know, the old NIMBY stuff, but I actually think the representations are actually pretty valid, and I'd be happy to support the planners on this.
You want to say something else, Derek?
No, sir.
Chairman, I'm genuinely having listened to the debate, and I understand what's been said about what the applicant could do. That's really for future debate. As we stand now, we have a designer cottage that absolutely doesn't fit in with the normal appearance of cottages in the Newton Grange area. I think that's a very good point Adam's just made, that there are no end cottage developments, and I can't think of any end in any of these cottages. There is a very good uniform building across the Newton Grange area, and I actually think this looks has a great impact into what a mining village was, and it would be a shame to lose this. I think what's been proposed here absolutely doesn't. It doesn't even come up to the same roof height, ridge height, etc. And I think the reason is given that the proposed development would have a significant detrimental impact on the character and appearance. The design of the proposed house is outkeeping and would significantly be detrimentally affect the streetscape. The proposed house also has a detrimental impact on the provision of garden ground, and we'll have to keep that in mind, that the garden that's going to be taken for this is part of a private rental next door, so effectively it's going to be an eyesore to the people who are renting next door. And I think this, for that reason, I think the planners have got it right, albeit I can actually see both arguments here, but I think the fact is that Newton Grange has been preserved. It's a lovely area, and I think we should do all in our power to make sure it stays that way.
Well, it seems to me that there's two who support the planners, one who supports the appeal, and two on the fence. So if the two on the fence could start speaking and let me know what you want to do now.
I think we're all sorted. Just depends which side of the fence we're sort of falling on. We're sort of saying the same things, but my main worry is if we don't, what's going to come forward? Because I think I'm looking at the buildings, something is going to have to be done to them, whatever way. And you could be saying we need some sort of drastic brickwork, I would have thought. I'm not an expert, but I tend to go down the side that I would uphold the appeal. That's all. Second, if Russell was proposing that one, then I would second that.
Which is a 2-2 draw at the moment. It's up to you, Ian.
Yeah, well, having listened to the debate, I'm not that far off the fence, I must say, but I think Adam made a very good point that we have to listen to the people who actually live there, who are the ones that know the area, and we'll have to live beside whatever we decide. So I think I'll be voting to uphold the planners on this one.
Excellent. So the planners have been upheld.
And just to confirm, Chairman, the appeal was being dismissed, the review being dismissed, and the planning permission refused.
Which brings on to 6D.
you, Chairman. This report relates to a review submitted regarding the siting of site huts for the use of builders' welfare facilities at land at Stone Place, Mayfield. The application for the siting of huts was refused planning permission on 14th of April 2015. The applicant has submitted a notice of review asking that planning permission is granted for the proposed development. A copy of the decision notice along with the officer's report and the applicant's review statement is in your papers. Again, we visited the site yesterday, and members will recall that from the site visit that the proposal is retrospective, and as such, if the local review body dismisses the appeal, the planning team will pursue the removal of the structure. The review is to proceed by way of written submissions in accordance with set procedures. And again, following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued and made available.
Ian.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, it's funny that when we were going up to that site visit, I was commenting on how nice the houses looked in Mayfield. but until I saw the site in question, I must say it was ugly was the only word I could say, could use to describe it. I just found it was unbelievable that anyone would put something like that in the heart of a housing estate. I have no hesitation in supporting the planners on this one.
Thanks, Russell. Nobody's disagreeing then. Okay, Adam.
No. I think the building is ugly, and I can't even argue with that. But I think there's quite a lot could be done to tidy it up. If it was actually painted the same colour, the wood at the bottom, the actual units, I think it would tidy it up a bit. And that big wooden sign up in the top could actually be taken away as well. I mean, the SERS is actually an important initiative for the Scottish Government about insulation and heat retention in houses and all the rest of it. And if this gets taken away, I don't know how much an effect that would have on the scheme that they're actually doing in Mayfield at the moment. I wouldn't think anybody that was receiving the work from the SERS scheme would actually be arguing against us being here. I would think the objections just probably came from, I haven't seen them, but I would guess they came from Folk that aren't getting it, or maybe were maybe even rival companies. So I think I'd prefer to see a lot of work getting done to actually tidy this building up. Because it is an important scheme that's actually going ahead. It is temporary, it's not permanent, as it says in their application. And I would tend to go for getting the thing tidied up, painted the same colour, a bit more compatible with the area, and removing some of the signage, or make it better signage to actually allow them to continue with the scheme that they're doing. If we go ahead and actually ask them to remove this, I mean, I don't know where to place the work that's actually going ahead in Mayfield just now, which a lot of houses are actually benefiting from.
Anybody supporting Adam? Eric?
Yeah, Chairman, I didn't really have a problem with this. It is a temporary application. We've had numerous of them in council housing estates and any other housing estates when there's development ongoing, where they come along and they set up site huts and canteens and stuff like that for staff. We regularly do it when we're doing, for example, window replacements and stuff like that, where you have big huts dropped in wide open spaces, a lot nicer spaces than this, on a temporary basis to be able to allow work to go on. It isn't particularly nice, but as has been said, we could look to sort of actually put in some conditions that they bring the thing up to a reasonable standard to which the planners would be happy, whether it be a lick of paint, removing some signs, sort of trying to hide it somewhat. But it is a temporary accommodation. It is there to deliver and being used to deliver what's seen as an important project for SERS Energy Solutions. And again, I think when you put that in the balance, it just being temporary, I think we have seen this time after time where not just the council, numerous other businesses come in with these huts while they're carrying out a project and then they're taking away an area left looking a bit better. So therefore, I'm going to agree with Adam on this one and look to uphold this appeal. By conditions.
Ian.
Thank you, Chair. I would be very open to that if I were absolutely confident they were going to fulfil them. This is a retrospective planning application, and so they got form in not doing anything when they've been either asked to do it or need permission to do it. I would think I would need persuaded of something a bit more than liquor paint. I think I'd need some sort of screen so you couldn't actually see evidence of them. When you looked at the plywood that was just bolted up against it and much of it peeling off, could be easily ripped off, it looked to me like it needs a good bit more work than just a coat of paint.
I can understand where he's coming from. Would it be possible to actually continue this for further discussions with the sales group that are using us to ask what they would be prepared to do and then come back to us? Because if they're not prepared to do anything, I mean, I would tend to support just bumping it, you know, or dismissing the appeal. I think in the interest of the local area and the amount of work that's actually going on there, if they could actually come forward with a kind of a revamp of the units that are there or whatever they can do, I'd be happy enough to do that. So if we could continue for further discussion, you know, might be a sort of
yeah, agree with that.
For, you know, maybe suit what you were asking for.
Right, thank you. I was just going to come and say what Adam said just now. I think that's probably the best way forward. That would then give us the opportunity to exactly see what they are doing. And I agree, it's something that is useful and serving a useful purpose there. So, but it gives us the opportunity to see, right, what are you planning to do, just to make it look a bit more presentable.
Do we want to make any conditions while we're all here together?
Yeah, Chairman, I mean, the local review body does have the power to defer for a cycle, so we can do that. I'll go away and ask them what their programme of environmental improvements would be, and then next time when you come to make a decision, I can tell you what they propose to do. Yeah. Okay, I'll also ask them for a timetable for doing it as well.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. Okay.
Which brings us on to item 6E.
Thank you, Chairman. This report relates to a review submitted regarding the condition attached to a grant of planning permission for the installation of replacement windows at 205 Main Street, Path Head. The application was granted planning permission on the 12th of June 2015, subject to a condition restricting the grant of planning permission to the rear of the property only. The applicant has submitted a notice of review requesting planning permission is granted without this condition, thereby effectively seeking approval for all the proposed replacement windows. A copy of the decision notice, officer's report and the appeal review statement is contained in today's paper. Again, we visited the property yesterday and the appeal was to be determined by way of written submissions. Following the decision of the local review body, a decision notice will be issued and made available in the electronic case file.
In other words, they can put the windows round the back but not round the front. So, anybody, any comments to put on that? Russell?
It's tough to say. When you saw, I mean, the planning manager, or the head of plan, gave it away yesterday when he said that the house next door had already had the windows replaced. And actually, when we were looking across the road, I thought they were both the same. So, I mean, that kind of gives it away that if it can be done and it's successful, why can't these people do that? Why you would want to have little small windows in there? I'm not quite sure about it, but I would refuse the appeal and make them, if they want to go ahead, they can get it, they can go with the same sort of windows that were in next door, aye? I mean, it's not the UPVC that's the argument, it's actually the design, isn't it?
Just to clarify, Chairman, we were looking at property 203, which was, if you remember, they were almost built as a pair of houses, weren't they? Same design, same format of windows. The one at 203 is already done the works with the appropriate permissions, etc. And yeah.
Everybody like-minded? Just go back and ask them to put the windows in the same as the back. What about the first item there?
Yes, Chairman, if we go back to the Honeysuckle Cottage review, the applicant did ask for a hearing but has not turned up. I would recommend that you continue to determine the review. In normal proceedings, you would hear oral representation from the applicant and then oral representation from the planning officer. I would recommend, and again, it's up to yourselves, I would recommend that obviously you can't hear from the applicant, but you can hear from the officer, so you may want to take that oral representation, ask any questions you've got, and then and reach a judgment on that.
Okay. Do you want to hear from them first, or do you want to have some questions first? Are you ready to speak, Derek, or not?
Well, does that mean we're going ahead without the applicant then and make a decision, or what? Or
well, I think we'll do that if the committee so desires to do that. I'm quite happy.
Just to remind you, the review relates to the extension and alterations to a property at Honeysuckle Cottage, 9 Mile Burn. The proposed extension will be at first floor level and will be above a flat roof part of the existing extension and measures 7.3 metres wide by 4 metres deep. The extension will sit 0.37 metres above the ridge height of the existing dwelling. The alterations to the conservatory comprise replacing a glazed wall with a solid wall and replacing a glazed section of the roof with a solid section of roof and the installation of a flue. A plan application for the proposal was refused on the 6th of March 2015. And again, a copy of the officer's report and the applicant's statement is contained in today's papers. There was a site visit yesterday, and in, like I say, the application is due to be determined by way of a hearing and comprises receiving oral representation from those parties that have attended. I would recommend that we just jump straight in and hear the oral representation from the plan officer.
Good afternoon, councillors. As members will have seen during a site visit yesterday, this area of 9 Mile Burn comprises a collection of modest but attractive traditional cottages. Given the modest scale of the cottages, the council has allowed a number of extensions to properties over the years in order to increase their floor area and make them suitable for contemporary living requirements. The application property has already been extended on a number of occasions. The majority of extensions to the cottages in the area have been limited to parts of the buildings not visible from public viewpoints. On site, members will have seen the extension on the property to the north of the site. This extension was approved in 2005 and was assessed as being a well-considered and planned approach to extending the building. The extension to the north of the application site was approved as it was a good contemporary design of a scale and in a position which did not have an adverse impact on the character of the original building. The dormer extensions on the properties to the south of the application site largely date to the early 1990s. In the 20 years since they were approved, the Council has adopted design guidance in the form of policy DP6 of the local plan and supplementary planning guidance, which sets out good practice for extensions to dwelling houses. Policy DP6 relates to all extensions, not just those on main elevations, and seeks a good quality of design which is reflective of the building and the area. Modern design can be acceptable, but this has to be of a high quality. The policies on design have moved away from supporting large box-style roof extensions seen on the properties to the south. The case on front of members today comprises a large flat roof extension to provide a second story of accommodation at this cottage. The neighbouring cottage is set back from the road and as a result opened up views to the rear of the application property from the road. The extension will be primarily visible from the approach to the cottage from the south, and as a result of its size, design and siting, the extension will be visually prominent and would detract from the character and appearance of the cottage in this area of great landscape value. The large flat roof rises above the ridge of the original cottage and is unsympathetic to the character and appearance of the modest cottage to which it would be attached. The appellant has made a number of suggestions in his written statement regarding ways by which he considers the impact of the extension can be softened. It is unlikely the amendments suggested will reduce the impact that the Planning Authority have concerns about. However, the Planning Authority would discuss options regarding alternative schemes which would be less prominent. Thanks.
I mean, I remember that all the other cottages to the left all had extensions to the roofs, and this building's the only one without one. Okay, I accept the point that it's going to lift above from looking from the front, but I'll open up for discussion.
Chairman, I suppose, in a sense, having read the papers before I got there yesterday, I kind of thought, gee whiz, who would put a box on the top? And I have to say, I was of that mind when we were standing outside at the front. But I have to say, the game's given away when you get round the back. You look left, you look right, and I mean, it's all on top of you. Now, I agree with the policy and I agree with the controls that were the control mechanisms that's in there. I agree with donor policy as well, right across Midlothian, never mind anything else, because you have to try and get a hold. But I think the game's up as far as this is concerned. And I mean, when we looked at there was another cottage along the way where in actual fact it's finished in slate and it's sitting box type as well on there. You don't see any of it from the what we call the front end, although it's kind of like a role reversal there, because you've got all the trees at the back there. And I have to say, Chairman, that, you know, on this occasion, I'm reluctantly going to go with the appellant because they're all there anyway. And as I say, from the front, you might have thought, well, or from the side, but when you go around the back and you see what's actually been put in, and one can argue whether they're sympathetic or not, the things are all there. And I think what they're trying to do is get extra accommodation out of it. So on this occasion, I'm going to support the appeal.
Yeah, Chairman. Just even looking at the photographs now, just quite simply brings back that memory for me, is that the policies we have in are on for probably the right reason, but the reality is we have now here a cluster of houses where that policy hasn't been applied in the past. There are numerous very large dormers that are there. There's a to the right as we were round the back of it, you were looking at what can only be called a modern bulk type of extension onto the back and that, and to the left there was quite large, or what appeared to be large extensions, even looking at this now. I really didn't have a problem with this at all. I think in this one, because of the adjoining properties being so significantly developed, I'm going to be supporting Russell here on looking to grant this with the conditions that are here in the event that we do, that they should also apply to this.
Adam and then Ian.
Just briefly, Chair. I mean, I think if we'd actually started the site visit off yesterday at the back of the house, you probably wouldn't have believed what was going to be around the front, because the front is actually pretty uniform and they do all blend in really well. But I think the back's completely different. I mean, and all the extensions and the heights and everything are all pretty varied, which in some respects actually doesn't make it that bad a view for me. But even the one on the right-hand side when you're around the back, it's like a tower, the circular thing. And I mean, it's completely out of character, everything that's there. So I wouldn't have a problem with this. And I mean, if it's, you know, for a family to be able to expand and grow and live there, I didn't have an issue with this at all. I understand where the planners are coming from. But as I say, if you started at the back and went around the front, you wouldn't believe the difference. And, you know, quite contrasting.
Ian?
Thanks, Chair. I largely agree with the comments that have already been expressed. The only possible concern, and we didn't see yesterday, and we maybe should have tried to, was the view from the hillside, if people are walking up the Pentlands, for instance. I wonder, would it be possible to put a condition on it that it's painted in a colour which makes it blend in with the front of the cottage? Would that be a way of getting around that?
Condition on it?
Well, it's just a suggestion, because it may, if it's white and the rest of the building's dark brown, that it may stand out if you're at an elevation from the site.
Does anybody else have a view on that, on the colour?
Already wouldn't finish, obviously.
Yes. Well, Chairman, it's proposed to be a larch wood finish. To be honest with you, the use of the sort of timber finish is quite a lightweight material. I'm not sure whether painting it will make any difference in that sense. So it's up to you, of course. But considering it's a sort of large timber finish, I would suggest maybe not painting it.
In that case, then, I'm happy to support the appeal.
You want to speak, Derek?
I'll support it. I mean, someone out here, maybe. Actually, we've had part there a few times. We don't head up the Pentlands. I may have to get a view for there, but certainly in for the roadside. I mean, actually, the middle bit there, the joining up the buildings doesn't look very great, but I've never noticed that before. We're parked right in the car park opposite, and there's not that many folk going to be going up and down that road other than heading up into the Pentlands, as you're saying. I don't see it. Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to uphold the appeal. Is it? Just to confirm that that's the appeal upheld and planning permission granted.
Thank you for your attendance, gentlemen.